Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome. Once again, it is Friday, 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You know what that means? It is time for what Rick Wright likes to call the greatest show on earth. Actually, if I may say that three times, he likes to chuckle at that because that's what I made up about this show. This is With All Dude Respect. With All Dude Respect, the men's radio show that does answer the age-old question, what the hell is going on? All right, so let's see. Well, one thing that's going on, everyone must know, that Rick is off today. He's out and about doing his fun thing for this Friday. So I decided, well, what can we do? And I actually had a question, or somebody on Facebook, a Facebook friend of mine chimed in and said, hey, let's have a discussion, a conversation. It's a gentleman I'm going to bring on in just a moment, and we'll have a conversation about the mature masculine. That's a topic, that's a theme and a title that's been getting some airplay ever since there's been maturity and masculinity. We're trying to put those together. So before we do that, I just want to let everyone know that you can catch us, connect with us, Rick and I, at With All Dude Respect. If you go to Facebook, it's the latest, greatest thing, facebook.com if you haven't heard of it, and type in With All Dude Respect. You can connect with us there, show ideas, and anything else you want to chat about. So I figure since it's one of the fastest 30 minutes ever, I'll go ahead and bring in our guest. So the guest is Dave Rudbarg, and he's at CoachMeDave.com. CoachMeDave, it's one word, .com. He's been involved in men's circles for 14 years as a trainer, participant, team member, and sponsor of close to 50 men. We'll find out what that means, sponsor. He's recently been acknowledged as a strong ally by the creator and cast of the critically acclaimed show called She, which brings to light the topic of sexual violence against women. He has a strong passion for supporting men to be engaged in inventing the mature masculine for themselves, helping to build extraordinary relationships for all. So let's go ahead and bring Dave in. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Today's a good day. How's it going over there? Now, what part of town? What part of the planet are you from right now?
I'm in Jersey City, New Jersey. Been in Jersey City for about the last 18, 19 years.
Okay, so we connect. Thank you. So we connected on Facebook. I believe you were part of a MDI page. MDI, just for our audience, knows Mentor, Discover, Inspire. It's a men's organization. Mm-hmm. That we've been involved in. And I also know that you are a musician as well as a coach. Can you give some background on your work with the men's work for, you say, 14 years?
Sure. Absolutely. So I had done a lot of seminars and stuff starting in the early 90s. And in the summer of 2003, two different men, both close friends of mine, had pretty much, and they didn't even know each other, but they both had the same conversation with me, which was, you know, you're a great man, and you've got a lot of things that work, and there's one thing that's missing, and that's you owning your power as a man. And I had no idea what they were talking about. None at all. Zero. And I had met men who had done men's weekends and thought that they did not appear to be the kind of men that I wanted to be or thought of myself as. And they did not occur as mature. And so at the time, I was hesitant. And then I went to be in a men's circle for the first time. And rather than men just talking about either sex or sports, and nothing else, I suddenly saw these men talking about their lives, like what was going on for them really, what it was like to be a husband, what it was like to be a father. They were doing what I have now come to know as dropping the mask. And the idea of just really talking openly and honestly in a way I'd never seen men talk before, ever. And it took about 10 minutes before I let the man who brought me to the circle, a.k.a. my sponsor, because it is one of the most important things about men's work and men's circles is its confidentiality. That's hugely important, you know. And so as a result, I ended up doing my first men's weekend, the first weekend of December 2003, during a blizzard. And very quickly, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but here's the thing that I really want to communicate, is that the first distinction I got around the mature masculine was the distinction of being having a no problem attitude. And that doesn't mean that there aren't problems, but it means that the way you relate to it, okay, is rather than just being at the effect of your emotions, you actually step into it. You step into it and you embrace, you go, okay, I feel this, and what else is possible? So I watched the man who brought me to the men's weekend, and as I mentioned, it was a blizzard. He was asked to pick up 3 or 4 more men from all over the New York City metropolitan area to bring them to the weekend. And I watched him have a no-problem attitude, and I'd never, ever seen any man, including my father, have a no-problem attitude. And it was staggering. It was amazing. Wow. So, and then it's just gone on from there. And,
so that was, so that was 14 years ago. You did a men's weekend 14 years ago. Now, what were you? How would you define yourself before doing that weekend? I mean, were you a man that maybe did have problems, or you know, or how would you define yourself before that?
I would say that the only way that I related to being a man was that I had the plumbing of a man. You know, I peed standing up, but that is pretty much it. And I'm, you know, for me, I was very uncomfortable. Like, I was very uncomfortable. I didn't have any close male friends. Most of my friends, and this is also one of the things that I got out of doing men's work. Most of my friends at the time were women, but they really weren't friends. They were women that I would have liked to have dated and didn't have the confidence to say, you know what, I'm glad you like me and I'm interested in a romantic relationship with you. So I was covert about what I wanted. And so after the men's weekend, I got much more clear on being able to be honest. You know, and that was very positive.
Yeah, there was actually our story is very kind of similar. Before I did the men's weekend, I did it November 97. Oh, look, 20 years ago. Happy anniversary to me. But you know, before I did, I looked at my, back in the day when you had pieces of paper or, you know, notepads when there was had phone numbers of friends and contacts and things like that. I remember looking at that going, oh, my God, all my friends are females. You know, I was very involved in the healing work, emotional healing work, you know, going within, things like that, you know, sensitivity stuff, and which is all great stuff. But I didn't have any connection to men. In fact, I thought they were kind of boring, you know, like one-dimensional. After I did the weekend, I was like, oh, there's something more to this picture, kind of like what you're saying. You know, there's other dimensions that you can get. Over the 14 years, I mean, you've touched on some of this. What are the main takeaways of being in circles with men for you?
There are several things. First of all, one of the things, about a year ago, there's a fellow named John Lee. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but John's done a lot of books about men, and he came up with this one line that I've never forgotten. I've repeated it over and over again. And he said, it's not a father's job to mentor his son. He said, it's a father's job not to mess him up too much so that other men can mentor him. And that's for me, the quintessential distinction of men's circles, because all of us, our fathers are limited by what they were taught by their father and what their fathers taught them. And as a result, you know, there were dozens of distinctions around being a man that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't even aware that I was just not present. So for me, it was about meeting a variety of men, meeting men from all walks of life, and having the opportunity to listen to their struggles and their pain. That's the other thing about this, that when I refer to the mature masculine, one of the things that I'm real clear about is that men are kind of told to either get over things or man up or handle things, you know, emotions. And really? You know, at some point there's got to be some way, some healthy, responsible way for men to be able to process, to recognize, to process, to acknowledge, and to inspect what they feel, and then to come to a resolution about the best way to deal with the way they feel. Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah. In fact, you told that story about the no problem man. You know, he's out there, okay, no problem. I mean, some man can look at him and go, you know, man up if he started to complain about the blizzard. They could say, man up. However,
right,
you could do that. You could have that attitude. At the same time, what I hear you saying is also to have another dynamic in your life so that when you do have other shit come up, you can deal with it. You know, you don't just have to have some simple phrase, man up. You know, you have somewhere to go to deal with the shit that's coming up.
Right. And,
that's cool.
You know, the other thing is, and, you know, I mean, obviously it's been in the press a lot over the last couple of weeks, is all the stuff about sexual harassment and
right,
violence against women and all that. And, you know, there's a man named Marshall Rosenberg who wrote a series of books on nonviolent communication. And Marshall says that anger and upset and pain are all results of what he calls unmet needs. And so I think for one of the things about men and why men's circles are so critical is for men to have a safe, confidential space to say what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one of the other things that, you know, men are told to kind of not have needs, to be self-sufficient, to be independent. And then when they have unmet needs, they walk around with a lot of resentment and a lot of anger, and they don't know how to get these unmet needs satisfied again in a healthy, mature way that does not harm anyone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In fact, I'm glad you brought up the whole sexual harassment thing that's coming up. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in the media, and it's not like brand new, but
right,
a lot of stuff in the news that has to do with men and, you know, how they're portraying themselves, how they're showing up in community and society and Hollywood,
right,
and all that. Before I want to go into some of that, but before we do, can you, for our audience, even though we've touched on the topic, can you define mature masculinity, you know, especially in the light of there's something called femininity? So how would you define mature masculinity?
Sure. No, absolutely. I think, first of all, the idea of mature is the idea of being responsible for what I experience, okay, that I'm accountable for my experience, right? That's the first thing. So that's part of maturity. When I think of masculinity, and I never thought of this before I did a men's weekend, I think of words like honor and respect and courage and dignity and integrity. I think of those words as being masculine. I think of, you know, the idea that, you know, and I'll use the military, and I would not have spoken about this 30, 40 years ago this way, but I have to tell you that at their best, for example, I think of Marines or anybody who's really well trained in the military. I think of it's a general or colonel from the Air Force who recently spoke about racism in the Air Force and how it would not be tolerated. And I think when I saw him, that is a quintessential picture of the mature masculine. You know, the idea that you have integrity, that you honor your word, that you are great with people, that you don't diminish people, and that you are an example to children, and that when you are around women, they feel safe, they feel honored, they feel respected, you know?
Right. So we're kind of getting the opposite of that in the media now. What we're seeing, a lot of women stepping up and saying, I'm not getting that, especially in Hollywood with all of what's coming out in the news. How do you see mature masculine fitting in with that whole Hollywood story?
Well, I think that you know, that's a whole nother conversation about power and about a system that allows for people with money and power to do what they want and to be able to, for want of a better phrase, get away with it. So in terms of mature and masculine, just because somebody is over 40 or over 50 doesn't make them mature, and just because they have hair on their body doesn't make them masculine, you know? And I think that, again, you know, you have to watch out for, you know, the red flags along the way. But here's the thing. In Hollywood, okay, and this is what kept coming up for all these people, these were all men who, you know, people wanted to, you know, have something wonderful happen. And instead of something wonderful happening, you know, going to audition for something, and suddenly this man goes, well, if you're auditioning, I think I'll just sit here and masturbate while you audition. It's like, what? What is that? You know, that's not... That's just as self-indulgent, or here's the word that I would use. There's in a wonderful book called Warrior, Lover, King, Magician by Gillette and Moore, they talk about two types of the male archetypes. There's the mature and the shadow. And the shadow versions of those, the shadow ways of being, are what we see that are not the mature masculine. We're seeing the shadow versions of the bullies, the brats, you know, and that's what we're seeing there. You know, yeah. So everything that you're seeing, every one of the men who has committed these kinds of affronts, this kind of violence against women, there's not one of them that can be referred to as mature masculine. If anything, they're the shadow version of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So I think we have a good picture of the mature masculine. What I like to do for our audience is to bring in certain situations. And we're going to give you some time at the very end to talk about your coaching and what you offer so that people can get a hold of you. So I want to bring in certain situations and say, how would you apply a mature masculine approach to these situations? And just whatever comes to your mind. There's no right or wrong answers here. So, okay. So you're in a relationship with a girlfriend, and she is starting to wants to fight with you, like starts an argument. What is a mature masculine approach that comes to your mind?
Okay, she wants to start a fight with you.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Did she say something or appear to be agitated?
She throws an iron at your head.
I run for the hills. I'm not standing around. Are you kidding? I'm like, you gotta go.
That's good.
But okay, here's again. It goes back to part of the mature masculine is creating ways of being that serve me in my life and serve the people around me. And they may not be the masculine cliches from years ago. So, for example, if I was with somebody and she was, like, something was going on, there'd be a variety of things I would do. Number one, I would say, do you need some space? You know, you seem upset with me. If there's something you would like me to do or you'd like to talk about this now, great. If you prefer that I not be around for a while, let me know because I'm not committed to fighting with you and I'd like to know what you need.
Awesome. All right. So I want to get through some of these before the show ends. So that's
sure.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Thanks for that. Okay. The next one is your boss calls you on the carpet for, let's say, being late 3 days in a row.
And the question is,
the question is always, what is the mature masculine response to these situations? So your boss calls you on the carpet.
Right. Besides just not being late for 3 days in a row in general, because that's kind of a passive-aggressive way of communicating something. Yeah. So if that happens, you basically stand there, listen to what he said, make sure that don't discuss it, don't repeat it, explain it, just shut up and listen and get his communication, and then hopefully go do your job, stay out of his way, and really start to recognize that you were not bringing the mature masculine. You were bringing something else. And start to upgrade that way of being.
Awesome. Yeah, that kind of reminds me of when I'm holding a man accountable in my MDI circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when a man can not get defensive and not argue back, but to really take it in, listen, and, like, look for changes to upgrade his own life. Wow. Talk about respect and maturity that I see there. Okay. So the next one is somebody on Facebook calls you a name. Do you just fire back with, fuck you, bitch?
No, actually, I'm very, very, very straight about everything. If I post something, look, I'm very political, and, you know, I have a lot of things I'm passionate about, and if somebody comes on my page and starts to insult or diminish me or anybody else, A, I delete the comment immediately, number one. Number two, I message them to let them know that that's not okay with me. And if they continue on, I block them because, in all honesty, that's not, you know, one of my terms as a man, as a mature masculine man, one of my terms is I don't allow anybody to be diminished in my space. That's not okay with me. You want to go on your page and diminish people? Fine. This is my page. And
great.
Again, I don't indulge in insults.
Awesome. All right, got two more. One, the next one is a friend, or let's say an acquaintance, comes onto a girlfriend of yours. He's coming on, and you hear about it. He's not in front of you, but you hear about a friend of yours, or a contact, or somebody you know,
right.
comes onto a
right.
girlfriend.
Right. So he's coming on to her, and what's her experience? Is she the one who's contacting me to let me know?
No, let's just say you hear through the grapevine. What do you do? What is a mature masculine?
What do I do? So I just want to make sure, you know, because, again, one of the things that men often do is try to rescue women when they don't have any need to be rescued, you know. So I would, number one, if somebody came to me with that, I would ask them why they were telling me, you know,
mm-hmm.
and find out what was their intention in sharing that with me, you know. And then if I thought that it was something that needed to be addressed by me, I would get in contact with the woman and ask her if, in fact, she needed my input or my listening or anything like that, and get a sense of what the experience was like for her. And then,
oh, so you're saying you go towards your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Towards your girlfriend,
sorry?
You don't go towards. You go towards your girlfriend. You don't go towards
so
the guy.
So, girlfriend, if a guy was coming on, she's. I'm very blessed to have a girlfriend who is the coolest person in the world, and she. I don't have to manage that. She is like. She would knows how to handle people. Knows how to talk to men. And I would discuss it with her, and if she wanted my input, my output, or anything else, she would let me know.
Okay. I guess what I was trying to get
and,
at
and
is...
Privately, amongst my men, I'd be like, who the... you know, but, you know.
Because I guess I was trying to get at, would the mature masculine ever approach a dude, another dude, and say, hey, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah, pretty much. And here's the thing. Rather than coming from a confrontational place, hey, what are you doing? It would be more like, can I talk to you for a minute? You know? Because I want to just let you know, this is what I'm experiencing over here. Is this what you meant for to happen?
That's good. So,
yeah.
Dave, again, this is, as we know, the fastest 30 minutes on planet Earth.
Yep.
Somehow they made the fastest 30 minutes at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I don't know why. But can you just talk, since we're going to short on time, can you just talk about CoachMeDave.com? Is that where people get a hold
sure.
of you if they want coaching?
Yeah, that's great. Yes, I do relationship coaching. Everybody normally thinks that means romantic relationship. Relationship coaching I do is your relationship to you. And if you'd like to know more about my coaching, my website is, as Jim said before, CoachMeDave.com. CoachMeDave is one word. People get in contact with me in our first conversation. We'll have a brief, complimentary, confidential relationship coaching conversation and see if we're a match. And I so appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Send my love to Mr. Wright, who is one of my favorite people. And it's been an honor to be with you, Jim.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I like your vibe. I like your approach. And imagine if our politicians and our leaders and the people in so-called charge acted that way, mature and mature masculine. It would be a pretty amazing world. Let's hold out for that. So thank you, Dave, for being on our show, and we'll see everyone next week on With All Dude Respect. Take care.